Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Thank you for tuning in to the program tonight. As you know by now, the Florida special prosecutor announced a second-degree murder charge this afternoon against George Zimmerman in the shooting death of Trayvon Martin. Angela Corey is the prosecutor from Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County. Said that Zimmerman, a Crime Watch volunteer, was in the custody of law enforcement officers in Florida. I don't think she specified the city. In her comments tonight, or late this afternoon, Corey said, quote, "We did not come to this decision lightly. Let me emphasize that we do not prosecute by public pressure or by petition. We will continue to seek the truth about this case," end quote. She opened the news conference by saying she had spoken to Trayvon Martin's parents shortly after she took on the case. Now, of course, critical to the case is the question of whether or not the shooting fell under Florida's Stand Your Ground law, which gives wide leeway to people who claim self-defense. Ms. Corey said that her office regularly deals with Stand Your Ground motions. She added, quote, "If Stand Your Ground becomes an issue, we will fight it," end quote. This hour, by the way, is being sponsored by Scott and Kim in St. Paul, Minnesota. And their message, "We believe in what you do." Well, thanks, Kim. Thanks, Scott. A couple of emails from people who have been moved to write emails about this case. Just a couple here. From Doc Saxman. He writes, "Mike, I'm in tears running down my cheeks watching and listening to the press conference on MSNBC with Sharpton and the family. This is the thing that folks just don't understand about black people. This is personal to us. This touches our soul and hearts. This is our history. This has been a long, painful journey here in this country." And I want to share with you something that was written to me by Stephanie in San Diego. "Mike, love your show. I've been listening since 2006. I wanted to write regarding the recent incident of murder of the young black boy in Florida and the failure till today to arrest his killer. This incident appears to have brought all the racist, crazed right-wingers out, and I'm so disgusted by the things I've been hearing them say. They are far worse than even I gave them credit for, and I gave them a lot of credit when it comes to being racist, misogynistic, homophobes. Most of these right-wingers are classic cases of antisocial and or narcissistic personality disorder, and I'm qualified to make that diagnosis because I'm a licensed psychotherapist. Today I was reading comments following the announcement that Zimmerman will be charged and was so repulsed by the vitriol flying out of the right-wingers' mouths. I don't think I need to repeat what was said because I'm sure you and your audience know exactly what I'm talking about, as this has been discussed many times on your show in the last month. Normally, I do my best to ignore right-wing rhetoric, but I felt the need today to address right-wingers who always like to manipulate the discussion of race by throwing around terms like race card or reverse racism or crying about black-on-white crime or black-on-black crime. I know none of them will read what I'm writing here because either they lack the reading comprehension skills needed to understand the content, or they are all too busy shopping at Walmart purchasing full arsenals of white sheets. So I thought I would share what I wrote with you and others who sympathize with my frustration. Dear so-called oppressed white Americans. I'm writing to you in response to the claims I've seen and heard many of you make of oppression of the whites by, well, by anyone who isn't white, Christian, and male. I've heard comment after comment such as, oh, what about when blacks, or insert other minority, what about when blacks kill whites? That never gets media attention. You're playing the race card, etc., etc. All you whiny-ass white people crying that we never report when blacks commit crimes against whites need to shut your damn mouths. Your ignorance embarrasses me as a white person. We whites have always gotten everything we want. Everything. Name me one thing whites have been systematically denied. You can't. Yes, there are isolated incidents of non-whites committing crimes against whites, but it is not systemic. Don't compare systemic racism of non-whites to some individual incident of prejudice against whites and present it like they're on the same level, because they are not. We whites get every damn thing we have ever wanted, and if we didn't get it given to us, then we simply take it. And now that it may not be that way anymore, whites feel it is somehow infringing on their rights? Their rights to what? The right to white privilege? See, the problem with ignorant white people, predominantly male whites, is that they don't even know they are privileged. They're just so used to getting everything they want that they see it as entitlement. We whites have always felt entitled to whatever we want. And then when a non-white person comes along and says they want the same thing too, we scream that they are taking our rights. We've always had privilege and entitlement as whites, or what right-wingers refer to as rights. However, in order for whites to have privilege and entitlement, it required that we oppress others and not allow them their rights. So when those people, and by people I mean black, Hispanic, homosexuals, women, etc., push back and want to have the same rights and opportunities as white males, they cry, the males do, that they are having their rights taken, when in actuality they're just losing their privilege and have to play on level playing fields with everyone else. Although, even with all our advantages, whites, especially white men, still have more advantage. If you are white and think you're being oppressed because of your whiteness, then you simply do not understand oppression. Your complaints are the equivalent of a toddler screaming, "Mommy, I'm starving!" when they're told they cannot have a snack and must wait till dinner. The kid has no idea what starving really is. I'm so tired of listening to white people and their lame, empty arguments about white people not getting a fair shake. No, white folks, you are not losing your rights. It's just now you have to share them with others and you don't like it. Reverse racism, so-called, is always the battle cry of those who find themselves no longer in the position of power. You right-wingers are such hypocrites with your cries about personal responsibility. You apply it to everyone but yourselves. White people had a 400-year head start in this country. Yet those whites that are still poor or struggling blame minorities for their failure to achieve the so-called American dream. That does not sound like someone who is taking personal responsibility now, does it? Maybe one day you'll realize that only 1% of the population is setting up roadblocks on your path to achievement. Until then, they will be laughing all the way to the bank while you blame a group of people with little or no authority or power. You people are such suckers. Thanks for providing a space for me to vent, Mike. Keep kicking ass. Stephanie in San Diego. Couple of emails from a black man and a white woman about this particular issue. Race in this country, of course, is the issue that will not go away. And it's because, as Stephanie pointed out, anybody who understands history will agree and perhaps even emphasize the 400-year head start. You know, white folk, if white people could just accept the truth about the establishment of the United States of America, if they could just get past the mythology, just get past the stories and the tales that have become received wisdom about how this country was put together, it might change some of the attitudes. We can't go back and change history. We can't undo genocide, and we can't undo 300 years of slavery. But at least we can be honest about it, can't we? Never been before. No one
Mike, do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. You know, I say on this program very frequently that all Republicans are liars. Republican office holders are classic pathological liars. And, you know, I know that a lot of people who listen to this program will, you know, will agree. And I think some people will agree conditionally, like, oh, well, they lie a lot, Mike, but always? And, of course, my answer to that is, of course, always. Here's the latest example. Rick Scott, the governor of Florida, on his Facebook page, he or somebody authorized, I say it was him, they posted an image that purported to be the Miami Herald front page yesterday, Tuesday. And it was a fake. It was a doctored. It was a phony Miami Herald headline. And as a result, the paper's managing editor demanded that it be removed. And, of course, it was deleted from the governor's social media page. Now, what he had done, he had swapped in this headline, "New law helps put Floridians back to work," in place of the paper's original headline from 2007. And that headline was, "Murders highlight rise in crime in Guatemala," making it appear, by doing the swap, that an op-ed piece from the governor had run above the fold on the Herald's front page. The Facebook page said, "Hey, check out the editorial in yesterday's Miami Herald." But the phony image contained a graphic mistake. It included the location line from the original story, Guatemala City. Dumbasses. Not only are Republicans liars, but they're just dumber than a steaming pile of dog poop. You know what I'm saying? They really are. After a blogger, Bill Cook, who is has a site, Random Pixels, alerted the Herald, Miami Herald, of the front page tweaking, managing editor Rick Hirsch contracted the Republican Party of Florida and told them to take down the false image immediately. Hirsch said, quote, "The posting of a fraudulent front page of the Miami Herald is unacceptable. Not only is it a fraud on the public, but is trademark infringement for use of our masthead in a fake edition and copyright infringement for those portions of the front page that were not fabricated," end quote. Well, they don't give a goddamn. Republicans, Republican politicians, fraud? Fraud? They commit fraud with every breath they take. As soon as they get up in the morning and put on their underpants, they're committing fraud. And everything they do for the rest of the day is a fraud perpetrated against whomever they're in control of. In this case, the people of the state of Florida. They don't give a damn. Now, this isn't the first time Rick Scott's Facebook page has been altered. Back in February, Scott and his staff gave their Facebook fans the prompt quote, if you could use one word to describe Florida's 2012 legislative session, it would be blank. And then it said, comment below. Well, 80,000 people, quote, like, end quote, the governor of Florida on Facebook. And you know what the word like means there. And apparently most of them are passionate critics, not fans. The comments left for the fill-in-the-blank were mainly critical, ranging from clueless to corrupt to some that can't be repeated on this radio program. He runs a fake front page of the Miami Herald. Now, the fraud is obvious. The stupidity is that some halfwit like Rick Scott, whose company had been charged with major fraud when he ran this phony-ass healthcare company, an insurance company, right? So it's just more of Rick Scott. The people of Florida, congratulations, you put him in office. And you Democrats put him in office just as surely as the Republican halfwits who voted for him. And the way you Democrats did it, you sat on your asses, you didn't do anything. You didn't get out and work to make sure that this piece of human waste would not be the governor. So, you get the kind of government you deserve. We'll be right back.
Screaming with Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Scott and Kim in St. Paul, Minnesota. They write, we believe in what you do. Scott and Kim, thank you very much. Appreciate the sponsorship. Kind comment, too. Thanks. This is Wednesday night. It's church night in honor of... in recognition of the Wednesday summer nights that I spent with my grandparents at prayer meeting. And we've got a couple items here we'll get to as the show progresses. But I want to share with you another Republican freak. This one is especially horrific. This is this disgusting Alan West, representative Republican from Florida. Keep in mind that West, while he... was never busted in rank. He was forced out. I think he was a colonel or a lieutenant colonel. He was forced out after an investigation around charges that had to do with the mistreatment of prisoners in jails in Iraq. You can imagine what this slime ball did. Now, Tuesday night, last night, he was at a town hall event in Florida. And according to the Palm Beach Post, West warned his constituents at this event that dozens of his Democratic colleagues in the House are members of the Communist Party. Jesus Christ. Now, there are currently 190 House Democrats. The moderator of this little half-wits exchange said to West, what percentage of the American legislature do you think are card-carrying Marxists or international socialists? Now, you've got to question the sanity of the dumbass who asked the question, first of all, right? You can just see this, right? Representative, what percentage of the American legislature do you think are card-carrying Marxists? What the hell is a card-carrying Marxist? I didn't know that Marxists gave out cards. West answered, that's a good question. I believe there are about 78 to 81 members of the Democrat Party, who are members of the Communist Party, and it's called the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Oh, I see what you're saying, Alan. Uh-huh. It's those damn progressives again, right? Tammy Baldwin, who's a Democrat from Wisconsin, and a vice chairperson of the caucus, through her spokesman, Geraldine Goodman, spokeswoman, said, quote, I can confirm that Congresswoman Baldwin is not a communist. Willie Rich, spokesman for Representative Chelly Pingree, a Democrat of Maine, also a vice chair of the caucus, said, quote, Chelly is a Democrat, a farmer, and a Lutheran, but no, she's not a communist. God. Now, during the same event, which took place, this according to Huffington Post, took place at Jensen Beach, Florida, this half-witted West said that President Obama wouldn't have a public debate with him over their policy differences because Obama is scared. Jesus. Oh, my God. Now, it just so happens that the president was in Florida that night giving remarks about the economy and holding campaign events. West said, according to the Palm Beach Post, quote, I really wish that standing here before you was Alan West and President Obama. We could have a simple discussion, but that ain't ever going to happen. When an audience member asked why, West said in a mocking voice that it was because Obama is too scared. This is an adult? This is a guy who got his rocks off torturing people in Iraq? This is a guy who was drummed out of the military? This is a Republican? Of course. Eighty members of the Democratic caucus in the House are communists. Oh, yeah. And you thought Senator Joe McCarthy was dead and buried and gone. Well, here he is again, or his spirit anyway. What a piece of human waste. Representative Barney Frank today tore into that comment. Frank, who is retiring this year after 16 terms in Congress, said, quote, not even Joe McCarthy would have said anything so stupid and dissociated from reality. It's an indication of the significant deterioration of the Republican Party as a responsible entity that an ignorant, mean guy like Alan West is considered one of their stars? End quote. Barney Frank said he's proud of his record over the years in cooperating with even the most conservative Republicans. But Alan West's remarks show, Frank said, that the current flank of House Republicans leaves little room for bipartisanship. That's the only part of Barney Frank's statement I disagree with. Who are the ones you can agree with, Barney? Tell me who they are. And if you start naming them, I'm afraid then that I'm going to accuse you of being, I don't know, blinded by your attempts to be bipartisan. These people don't give a goddamn, Barney. They would cut your throat as soon as they would get a drink of water. And it's because you're a gay man. And that's just not allowed. Barney Frank went on to say, it is exactly the opposite of those of us in the Congressional Progressive Caucus who are in support of freedom, in support of democracy, in support of people's basic rights and civil liberties. Communism is really a reference to some of the worst human rights abuses of our time. It is meant to delegitimize people and allow no basis for debate. It's a very nasty label. Well, yeah, if you look at the communists who came to power, who were in fact a kind of state communism that is as bad, as a matter of fact, it is identical to state fascism. Communism as a theory, small c, is not a bad policy at all. I mentioned this the other night when the Jews of the United States and Europe and South Africa and Canada converged on Israel prior to and immediately after the establishment of the State of Israel. I think it's safe to say that the form of self-governance that they put into effect could only be identified as communist. Not dictator communist, but communism that it was more social democracy. But of course, you can't explain nuances to these half-witted right-wingers. There's not a right-winger, there's not a Republican in this country, not one single Republican who could differentiate between socialism and communism. Not one. There's not one who would be able to sit down if asked a direct question, what sort of governance did the early arrivals to the newly formed State of Israel, you notice I'm being very judicious in my language here about this, because this is not one of these nights I want to get into a big discussion about what happened in Palestine. But let me continue. Any one of these right-wingers, if you say, what was the form of governance that the early arrivals to the newly formed State of Israel, the Jews, that they imposed on themselves, what was it? And I bet you every one of these dumb bastards would say something like, well, freedom, or democracy, or you know, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about anything. It'll be a great day for this country when somebody finally flushes these people far, far, far away. One of the marks of civilization is how far you can remove the waste from where you live. The human waste. That's one of the marks of engineering expertise. How far can you remove the human waste away from where you raise your family and where you play and where you have a cup of tea? That applies to Republicans, too. What a collection of human waste every single one of these thugs are. It'll be a great day when they're finally flushed, won't it? Won't it? 80 members of the House Democratic Caucus are communist. Oh, for God's sake. We'll be right back.
Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Scott and Kim in St. Paul, Minnesota. And their message, we believe in what you do. Thank you, both of you. Thank you very much. It's very kind. From Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, since Alan West is channeling old tail gunner Joe McCarthy, I suppose West needs a nickname to mirror his reputation for torture with pistols. I propose 9mm Moron Al. Michael and Roswell. Yeah, that's what it was. When West was in charge of or detailed to or whatever, involved with prisoners in Iraq, he would threaten them with a gun, firing the gun near their heads. And Joe McCarthy, I guess during World War II, he was, in fact, a tail gunner. I think that was the story. So the nickname stuck, Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy. So the reason I'm explaining this, because a lot of people are not old enough to get it. You know, not that you're ignorant. It's just that, you know, Michael's references in this particular case are, you know, they go back a ways. They go back to the 50s. I don't know how many people... I guess I should have more faith, right? From Prairie 2, don't recycle. Bruce writes, the stock market took an upward turn today after a week of steady declines. The corporate news blamed the losses on the poor jobs number for March, as if 120,000 new jobs was a bad thing. The number is really closer to 200,000. But large job losses in construction and retail, as well as from a decline in temp jobs, resulted in the 120,000. The number of essential government workers fired in the red states helped to drag the net gain down as well. Average hours worked stayed about the same. So there's been no real downturn in business activity so far. We should be seeing an uptick in construction, as is normal coming out of a recession. Unfortunately, finding a job that pays enough to afford a home is becoming a quaint idea from the pre-Republican era. Too many Americans see this as the new normal, the huge number now predicting that their children will be less well off during their lives than they are. They no longer have the American dream of upward mobility from hard work, but they have replaced it with a fantasy of lottery winnings or sports contracts. The Republican base has an even more perverse fantasy of success. They will just go into business. Even though they have no money or any new ideas, they are sure that a big government would just get off the backs of business and rich people were no longer taxed, that they could succeed at business. No matter that it's the big corporations that will squash them like a bug and not the government. Except for the regulatory capture of government, of course. This favors the big corporations over the little guy and will only get worse as corporations are deregulated. Already the patent system and the courts are so clogged with corporate churning that companies exist simply to prey upon the small and medium-sized businesses that hold patents. These predators will file baseless patent infringement claims, knowing that resolution through the courts can take decades. In return for these sharks letting go of their victim, they will take 70% or more of the little guy's flesh. Big corporations routinely capture new technology the same way, or just keep the new innovation off the market until the patent runs out, all the while selling their old, uncompetitive product. It's capital that competes in the so-called free market, not good ideas. Still, nearly half of Americans vote for the Republicans who steal their wealth, steal their future of their children, and steal their dreams, replacing them with nightmares. Worse yet, they either see it as normal or the fault of people even worse off than they are. Even liberals are not above this kind of thinking. They start to see it all as hopeless if they can't have all needed reforms in a day or from one administration. Many preach the so-called inevitability of decline from dwindling resources and so do nothing more meaningful than recycle some trash. The real trash is in the Congress and the corporate boardrooms. The kind of trash that should not be recycled, but go straight to the landfill. Prairie2.com. Yep. We have a break coming up here in a couple of minutes. When we come back, we're going to take some phone calls from y'all tonight. Santorum. I don't even want to go there. I really don't. What else we got? Oh! Oh, my God. Did you hear about this? Governor John Kasich, of the Republican freak in Ohio, acknowledged that climate change is a, his word, problem. He said this at a GOP fundraiser. He said, according to the Columbus Dispatch newspaper, he said this last Thursday, quote, "This isn't popular to always say, but I believe there is a problem with climate change in the atmosphere." Where else is it going to be, you half-wit? "I believe it. I don't know how much there is. But I also know the good Lord wants us to be good stewards of his creation. And so at the end of the day, if we can find these breakthroughs to help us have a cleaner environment, I'm all for it." Kasich was speaking about his energy policy. That's according to the Chillicothe Gazette. Kasich also said that he wants to bring hydraulic fracking to Ohio. And Kasich, however, has placed a moratorium on the deep injection of drilling waste for disposal within 5 miles of a well site. Okay. Now, apparently, these comments are setting him apart from some of the more insane members of the GOP. Kasich is still insane, but maybe not quite as insane. The entire Republican House Energy and Commerce Committee declined to vote in March last year in favor of amendments acknowledging the scientific findings supporting climate change science. But John Kasich, oh, he must have been drunk. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. She says, "Choose any hour, but don't mention my name. I'm just making a donation to a liberal voice. They're being knocked off the air like bowling pins." That is so true. Anon. Thanks, Anonymous. Appreciate it. Just a little bit more on Joe McCarthy. Michael Senator from Wikipedia. You know, Republicans, even back in McCarthy's day, were liars. They really were. This type of Republican, which now has become the Republican Party. There was a time, yes, there was truth seekers. I know this is hard to believe, but there was a time when Republicans would state things from their political point of view, but they didn't lie as a matter of course. They didn't lie because they enjoyed lying. In other words, they're pathological liars. That's what we have now. So Senator, Joe McCarthy, he entered World War II. He was commissioned into the United States Marine Corps, despite the fact that his, judicial office exempted him from compulsory service. Blah, blah, blah. He served, as an intelligence briefing officer for a dive bomber squadron in the Solomon Islands. He reportedly chose the Marines with the hope that being a veteran of this branch of the military would serve him best in his future political career. He left the Marines with the rank of captain, and it's well documented that McCarthy lied about his war record. Despite his automatic commission, he claimed to have enlisted as a buck private. He flew 12 combat missions as a gunner observer, earning the nickname Tail Gunner Joe. He later claimed 32 missions in order to qualify for a Distinguished Flying Cross, which he received in 1952. McCarthy publicized a letter of commendation which he claimed had been signed by his commanding officer and countersigned by Admiral Chester Nimitz, then Chief of Naval Operations. However, it was revealed that McCarthy had written the letter himself in his capacity as intelligence officer. A so-called war wound that McCarthy made the subject of varying stories involving plane crashes and anti-aircraft fire was in fact received aboard ship during a ceremony for sailors crossing the equator for the first time. It just goes on and on. Lying bastard. Lying bastard. Ah, man. Well, he's dead and gone. And who's this from? Greg. Greg! If Kasich wants to clean, if the governor of Ohio, John Kasich, wants to clean the environment, Mike, they can start by fracking heavily in Florida until the Republican convention later this year. If the timing is right, the whole earth could open up, let's say seconds before Romney makes his acceptance speech, then conveniently close, taking Zimmerman with these slugs as well. Can we start to say renewable energy, Mike? Sure we can. Have I told you this evening, Mike, how much of a film that develops in the shape of an elephant every time I flush the commode lately? It must be that fracking solution dissolving those Republicans down under. Hallelujah, Greg. What? No, I have relatives in Florida, Greg. I don't necessarily want that. Don't want that to happen. All right. One last thing about climate change is real, according to Governor John Kasich now. Remember what half-witted Rick Santorum, the religious psychopath, before he dropped out yesterday, he called global warming a hoax. And at one point he said, the dangers of carbon dioxide? Tell that to a plant, how dangerous carbon dioxide is. Yeah. Okay. Rick, go have more babies, go pray, I don't know, become an even better Catholic than you are already. Mitt Romney, he says climate change is real and human activity contributes to it, though he says he doesn't know to what extent. Of course not. So just ignore it, Mitt. Of course, Mitt Romney will say anything depending on who he's talking to. Where are we? Jeremy is in Burlington, Vermont. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
I called in and told Kathy tonight I'm enraged about Zimmerman, but it isn't really so much Zimmerman. It's the people who are supporting him. They come out of the woodwork and say that Trayvon was a thug gangster wannabe,
right,
who deserved what he got because he punched this guy in the face. And it should be a lesson to all that you don't go punching people in the face. They might shoot you.
Well, that's based on the assumption that Trayvon did anything to Zimmerman. And I will guarantee you that if somebody was following me and I thought they were a threat, I would probably try to punch him in the nose, and then I would probably be shot dead. Also, except for one very important fact, and that is that I'm sorry to admit this, but I have a license to carry here in the state of Georgia. And with me, it's been, over the years, an absolute necessity. Not that anyone has ever approached me. God help them if they do. But because the threats were so severe when I worked at WSB here in Atlanta a number of years ago. And the threats mostly came from the religious right, from the Klan types and people like that. So I used to say, you know, in my neighborhood, not to brag, but we had a saying, if you want to get ass, you have to bring ass. And not to challenge anybody, but I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying.
I definitely agree in your case. I've seen some of the vile hate mail you've posted in your letters. They're unbelievably out there. But yeah, I'm really mad at people right now that are standing up for Zimmerman. They're just writing Trayvon off because it's Fox News saying that he's suspended from school, smoked pot, and he's a thug. And I had someone I know said that he was walking through people's backyard. The photos they showed tonight on CNN, as I was watching the breaking news on the rain that's coming up, it shows him laying on the sidewalk, head right next to the sidewalk. Not someone's backyard, next to the sidewalk. It's just ignorance.
Yeah, this case has brought out the swine, the real filth that we have to live with in the society for a little bit longer. These are the same filth who go after Barack Obama because of his race. These are the same filth who jump onto something like the Trayvon Martin case and display a kind of filthiness that should make every white person in America ashamed to even know that these scum are part of our gene pool. To whatever extent they are, we're all part of the same human gene pool, but you know what I'm saying. It's embarrassing to be a Caucasian knowing that these kind of vermin exist out there, and they have microphones, and they write little blogs, and they work for Premier Radio Network, and they're all over the goddamn airwaves. So yeah, it's hard to deal with. But what are you going to do, Jeremy?
I don't know, Mike, but it's a damn shame. But keep on keeping on. We're out here.
Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care, pal. I'm being very serious in getting to the point where, you know, like that email that I had from the woman in San Diego earlier tonight about white privilege. And there are very few white people who would even acknowledge that. And it is so real. Stephanie from San Diego. And she nailed it. I mean, it's almost, not to condemn all white people, because most white people don't understand what white privilege is. They don't get it. They don't know that just by virtue of being born Caucasoid, they have entree to and advantages about and control over more than any person of color can ever hope to get, unless that person gets a PhD in something. You know what I'm saying. This whole thing has made me just want to stay home and not present my Caucasian face anywhere where I travel, where I go. I run into a lot of people of color, a lot of black folk, a lot of Latinos, a lot of whatever. And I'm just ashamed to walk the goddamn streets now because of what these Caucasians have done. I swear to God. Overcome the heartaches and watch the evil melt. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, what we need is to stand together in unity. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, just believe, because peace will come eventually. In a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, never let go of hope. You can still achieve your dreams in a world full of hate. The hour. We have an open line here if you want to join in. 877-996-2556. Nora is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hello, Nora.
Hey, howdy, Mike.
Hi.
You know, hearing you tonight talking about the racism reminds me of the lyrics from Bruce Colburn's song where he goes, white belt, white shoes, white guilt, the white blues.
I'm not familiar with that one.
And You've heard of Bruce Coburn before, though, huh?
No. I'm
He's Canadian, and it's spelled like Cockburn, and if anyone wants to look it up, he did tours with John Trudell before,
oh.
a long time ago, but anyway.
Well, it's one a performer I missed. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
no.
I just wanted to say tonight that I heard today on NPR when they were reporting about the increasing... extremely frequent earthquakes taking place in the center of the country, and that it's not being caused by hydrofracking, but it is being caused by the waste, deep waste pools of hydrofracking fluid that they shove into places where they're not supposed to go. And then I'd like to move on, and because this is so important, there's two really big events next month addressing part of the racist problem, and one is at the UN from the May 7th to 18th about the rights of indigenous, and they're going to be discussing, the conquest or Christian conquest, and it's called the, what's it called again? Now I forgot the words, the D words. Oh, God, I'm getting all nervous on the air. Doctrine of, anyway, it's this, it's a D, it's a doc, I forgot what it, the name of it is, but they're going to be doctrine declaration or something like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen.
You know what it's...
Well, go ahead, Nora.
Anyway, it's what the total, what they have based, all American Indian law is based on this doctrine that was based originally on 15th century papal bulls, which stated if anybody's a heathen, you should take their land, kill them, and take their property.
Yeah.
And that's what they used. And so now there's been a repudiation of the doctrine of discovery. That's what it's called.
There you go.
And it's been repudiated by the Episcopal Church a couple years ago, then by the Council of Churches this past year, and they're going to be discussing it from May 7th to 18th at the UN. But Leonard Peltier Freedom Walk has been walking from Alcatraz to D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to get there May 18th, and they're going to have a powwow for Leonard Peltier at the Holiday Inn Capitol Hill, May 18th to 20th, and there's a bunch of related events. They're going to be in Atlanta next week. They just went through Coral Gables the past week. We're trying to get Leonard Peltier clemency from Barack Obama, because otherwise if he dies in prison, it'll be on Obama, and Dennis Banks believes he will do it, but not before his little reelection. So everyone's calling the White House and stuff, and they can Google those events. Really appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you, Nora. I appreciate the information. We have a strong supporter of this program who is intimately involved with Peltier and his the efforts around Leonard Peltier. All right, where are we? Oh, my goodness. Sanchez. Hey, Sanchez, how are you?
From the calming shores of Long Beach, I wish you as nonviolent a good evening as possible, senor.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the nonviolence you can send my way.
If you don't mind, I'd like to dovetail exactly at the point where Nora was discussing. I tried to have this conversation earlier today as well.
You know what, Sanchez? I've got 15 seconds. I have to take a break. So let me put you back on hold, and we will get to the break. By the way, I haven't mentioned yet. Tomorrow night we have a guest, and Friday night we have a guest. How about that on this program? I kid you not. And I think both of them are going to mystify, intrigue, and delight you. Not necessarily in that order. Guests on the Malloy Show? What? What? All right, we're going to take a break and we'll come back and take your phone calls, starting with Sanchez. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. that, Bruce Coburn. Okay, welcome back. 25 before the hour. Okay, you can cut it now. Go ahead, take it out. Thank you. There you go, Nora. Sorry we had a bad copy. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous, Anonymous, Anonymous. She writes, actually, choose any hour, but don't mention my name. I'm just making a donation to a liberal voice. They're being knocked off the air like bowling pins. Yes, they are. All right, back to Sanchez in Long Beach, California.
Yes, I wanted to dovetail with what Nora and Stephanie were from San Diego were discussing. And I would like to drop in the name of Howard Zim and a history. Yeah, if anybody has read the book that he wrote, People's History of the United States, would get a better idea as to how all indigenous peoples have been victimized over the centuries.
That really is the only book of American history that ought to be taught to our kids. It's just a damn shame that there's no courage on the part of people who run this country to actually expose our kids to the truth.
Right, and there's very little courage being spoken on the radio today. So,
that's right.
You know, that's why we need your program more than ever, because you can find courage right here within yourself and all the truth seekers that are listening and donate their time to this program. But besides dovetailing on this issue and this white privilege thing and the fact that, of course, we want justice for Trayvon, and all I'm going to say about that is it's called a neighborhood watch, not anything else.
That's so, right.
Anyway,
with the emphasis on the word watch.
Exactly, Senor.
Right.
But
the,
there's two news items that are going under the radar here that I wanted to bring up. One is about the Occupy movement, and but the first one, to dovetail with Nora and Stephanie, is involving this new volunteer state-sponsored and fully armed militia that Arizona is putting together here to aid the Border Patrol. Over the weekend here, everybody, of course, again, I'm saying people die in this country every single day.
Right.
Two, I don't know if they were from Mexico or they were crossing over the border, and some group of camouflaged men with rifles took two of these people out.
Yeah, I just saw that as we were going on the air tonight, and
right.
I'm sure they probably had orgasms when they did it.
Exactly, high-fiving all around.
Bastards.
So, what this goes to, and again, it's just, I know you own a gun, and I know a lot of people that own guns, and I do not. And it just seems to me that there's too many kooks out there that, whether with a license or not, there are too many guns out there. Where it's come to this point, where things like this, like, again, the shooting that everybody is occupied with here. But too many people have way too many guns in this country.
No, I completely agree. Completely agree.
And again, these people that are going out there and shooting the immigrants as they come over the border, are they trained properly? Are they good? I mean, they're just carrying weapons. So this goes to dovetail to what I wanted to say about a report that came out, an incident that came out last year on the date November 18th. And this was something that gripped a lot of people in the nation when they saw the security and police officers up at UC Davis pepper spray the Occupy UC Davis people. And
right.
That caught fire. It gave the movement a lot of momentum. Well, finally, the report came out. And you can go to commondreams.org and read it if you guys want to read about it. I'll just quickly, because I posted it. According to CBS News, they did a quick little summary here. They say that the incident was not managed according to plan. Mm-hmm. The pepper spray that they used was not an authorized weapon for the UC Davis police officers. And the chancellor, her name is Linda Katehi, bears responsibility for deploying the police at a certain time, 3 p.m. But anyway, and that the lieutenant, his name was John Pike, the guy that sprayed everybody in that one moment, bears responsibility for the use of pepper spray on the students. Again, too many people with weapons that should not be used. And I mean, I'm just saying this, that this report came out finally. There's more news about Occupy Wall Street and Occupy Los Angeles that we're getting ready for a huge May 1st movement and march here in the Los Angeles area. But I'll talk to you more about that. I'm just saying, can we get rid of the guns here? Too many people with guns. Oh, My God.
No, I completely agree. But I think you'll agree with this. This country has lost its mind. And because it's lost its mind, it lost its heart and soul a long time ago, and now it's lost its mind. And because of that, with 250 million guns extant in this country,
that's a
conservative figure. You'll pardon the use of that word. But guns in this country will never, ever, ever be removed. And I think part of the reason, and here's some irony, native-born people here have pretty much become, if not crazy, really, really neurotic. I mean, we really have, as a society. This is a highly neurotic society. Foreign-born people that come here usually come from societies that are so oppressive, so dictatorial, so without even the illusion of the ability to move around one's free will or freedom, that one of the first things is purchased once they can do it are weapons. And part of that reason is because the native borns have made it clear that they'd like to see the immigrants, legal or not, dead. Now, this is not anything new. I mean, you can go back to, remember that movie, The Gangs in New York?
Yeah.
Where even native-born Irish would try to murder the Irish immigrants. I mean, this is not a new thing. The difference, of course, if you remember the horrific gang fight in the opening scenes of that movie, where they hacked and beat each other to death.
Right.
It was all knives and axes and clubs, and it was just one of those brutal scenes. I had to keep telling myself, chill, Malloy, it's a movie. But now we have these multiple round clips that can just, I don't know, just murder people by the scores. And I think that's the big difference. You show me some of these right wing freaks who would be, who'd walk out in the street with their boys and face people without their weapons, and I'll show you something that doesn't exist. They're a bunch of goddamn cowards. Every single one of them, Sanchez, and you know it. You know, to pop up in your camo and start shooting people who are coming over here to find work or to take care of their family members back home or whatever. What a disgusting, disgusting example of American citizenry. I mean, these people just make me want to throw up blood.
Exactly.
Who gave
them the authority to do this again?
God.
It just goes down again.
Yeah.
And I know we're talking about something here right down to the marrow, but it is something that we should bring out. Is like, who gave you the right to shoot at these people?
Yeah.
These people are human, just like you, if you are human. But it's like,
well, that's the thing. You show me a right winger that has a heart, a soul, or a brain, and I'll show you, three people that should be on the yellow brick road with Dorothy to go get exactly that. All right, Sanchez, stay in touch. CommonDreams.org has this report on
the UC Davis.
UC Davis report, and anybody who saw that video, and I'm one of them. I will check it out. I hope everybody does. Thanks, Sanchez.
Good talking to you, man.
All right, man. Take care. Take care. CommonDreams.org. John is in Largo, Florida. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Getting by.
Good. Well, that's a good thing. My first time I'm actually listening to you. I've listened to satellite radio and bouncing around and on, latest topics, and I got in on the last probably two callers, and I heard them talking about white privilege.
Yeah.
I'm a young African-American man down here in Florida, but I went to school up at the University of South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was working in a position in the Department of Equity in Sioux City, Iowa, and had the opportunity to go to diversity training.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about white privilege and just really getting some insight on white people and how they you white privilege, and you know, across the board, some totally denied it exists, some totally accepted it.
Right.
And the ones that denied it, it was almost frustrating to me how they would just deny their right access, what their innate access, or what they thought was just their right to have, that they just denied it, that everyone had that privilege.
Right.
Knowledge.
Well, that's the problem. John, listen, I got to tell you this. Your cell phone call or whatever is breaking up really badly, and we're not getting the full impact of what you're saying. We got to take a break here anyway. If you want to get to a better location and call back, we'll try it again. I'd love to hear from you, and if not tonight, some other night. And just if you're listening on Sirius, we're on channel 127. I hope you continue to listen and call in. John, I got to leave you there. Thanks, pal. Been sponsored by Anonymous. Yeah, another one. And she writes, "Actually, choose any hour, but don't mention my name. I'm just making a donation to a liberal voice. They're being knocked off the air like bowling pins. Lord, have mercy. Is that not the truth?" And there's a reason for that, because we scare the bejesus out of these right-wing cowards. Bob is in Catawissa, Missouri. Am I saying that right?
It's Catawissa.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing there, Mike?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I wanted to know, did they arrest this Zimmerman character yet?
They did.
They did?
Yes, today.
Well, oh, good. I heard that they brought charges. I wasn't sure that he actually did the old poop walk yet.
Well, I doubt if they did the perp walk. I think they probably scooped him up, or he may have voluntarily turned himself in. I have no idea, but he is in custody, and I think there's going to be an arraignment or a bond hearing or something within the next couple of days. Yeah, he's been charged with second-degree murder, so we'll see what happens now.
And it's my understanding this coward actually started a website to gain donations for his defense.
Right.
That's crazy. And let me tell you something else.
Okay.
It kind of motivates me to start a movement, because it's just a matter of time, and you know it just as well as I do, Mike, before the left wing in this country tries to make an anti-gun stance on this. That's why I'd like to propose the Million Gun March in Washington, D.C., sponsored by the NRA. You heard it here first from Jim Bob, Catawissa, Missouri. Right here on the Mike Malloy Show, eh?
Why would you want to do that, Bob?
Because it's our Second Amendment right, and I don't want to lose it because of this Zimmerman character who did what he did. It's horrible what he did. He should be punished to the full extent of the law. And I'm not going to give up my assault rifles because of some scumbag neighborhood watch hothead.
Well, no, wait, Bob, how would the Second Amendment be repealed?
Well, they've been trying to do it already.
No, wait, Bob. I don't mind listening to what you have to say, but, you know, let's stay as factual as we can. When did they try to ever repeal the Second Amendment?
Well, they didn't exactly do long.
Okay, right. Okay, now that we've established that, do you know how many guns exist in this country?
Not enough.
Probably, 250 million. That's a quarter of a billion weapons, and that. Like I said earlier, that's probably a false number. It's probably twice that. Now let me ask you the next question: how do you think? Oh no, I'll come to that later. Do you know the only president who ever ordered the police to grab people's guns was a Republican? And that was George W. Bush, and that was after the disaster, the hurricane that hit New Orleans.
Well, that's because he was shooting at the rescue.
Okay, now wait. One last thing. How do you think, if there is an attempt to take people's guns, how do you think that would be accomplished? Now, do you think that Obama would show up? Well, do you think Obama would show up with a huge bag and say, give me your gun? How do you think?
He would press the martial law button, send the troops in there, and they would go door-to-door.
No, wait. Send the troops in where?
Into the United States.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that. But where are they going to start? Are they going to start in New York? Are they going to start in Katowice, Missouri? What are they going to do? They're going to send military patrols out?
Well, they're going to have different platoons.
Platoons.
Scattered throughout all over the nation and stuff.
Yeah,
That's why the NDAA was a very dangerous thing that Obama did. Mm. I don't hear you talking much about that.
Yeah, I talk about it all the time. Bob, listen, I think I've got to move on because I don't know. You've got me completely flummoxed here. All I can tell you, Bob, is like I've told a lot of people, and they don't hear this, of course, but the idea of confiscating guns in this country is an absolute, first of all, it's a mathematical impossibility. Second, it's a physical impossibility. And third, I don't know what the third is, but wait a minute. Bob, are you blue? Is this blue? Blue, is that you? OMFG. All right, Bob. I'm sure that was blue. I'll bet that was blue, right? Was that blue? He gets me every time. He got me with the Aussie accent. He got me with the Midwestern accent. And now he got me with that flat kind of Missouri accent. Or maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't blue. Well, whatever. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's because you're not a regular listener and you're not entitled to know. So, you know. Assuming that wasn't blue, I can't, I'm sorry. I just can't do it over and over and over again. I've been going over that issue for 15, 20 years, and I can't believe there's still people out there, who are able to drive and go to the grocery store by themselves and watch television and still believe that there will ever be an attempt to snatch up people's guns. I mean, how? This is something that the NRA and the rest of these neo-Nazi bastards have put out there to such effectiveness that there are people, and they're usually white men. I'm sorry, but they always are, right? They're always white men. I'm going to take my guns. Oh, take a break. Take a deep breath. Just, I don't know, chill. Go out in the backyard and do target practice. I don't know, something. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Ay. It is 7 past the hour. I wanted to mention this last night, didn't get to it, regarding the Trayvon Martin case. This thing, when I say thing, I mean the case. I don't mean any of the people involved. This horrific incident has developed so many layers, so many issues, has resulted in conversations, but also has resulted in some hysterics on the part of these right-wing nuts. But this little item I find particularly troubling. It comes from Pontiac, Michigan. A middle school teacher there in Pontiac, Michigan, a charter school, has been fired. She says she was fired because she helped students organize a fundraiser for the family of Trayvon Martin. She is Brooke Harris, an English journalism teacher at Pontiac Academy for Excellence, Pontiac Academy for Excellence Middle School. Monday of this week, the Mississippi-based advocacy group Southern Poverty Law Center, I'm sure you're familiar with them, demanded her reinstatement. The organization has also started a petition that has more than 8,000 signatures on it so far. Southern Poverty Law Center. I think their website is splc.org, I think. Anyway, according to the Law Center's Teaching Tolerance blog, quote, Brooke's students identify with Trayvon Martin. Many of them are African-American. Many have been stopped by police who thought they looked suspicious. In fact, her students engaged so deeply with the issue that they asked to take it beyond essays and class discussions. They wanted to take action to help Trayvon's family. End quote. Now, the fundraiser was proposed for March 28th. Students were had decided they were going to wear hoodies, which is what Trayvon Martin was wearing when he was killed. And by the way, once a month, this charter school allows students to wear street clothes instead of their uniform if they pay a dollar. And according to local news reports, the students participating would each donate that dollar to the to Trayvon Martin's family. The kids were willing to go ahead, dress in street clothes. They have to pay a dollar to do that. Once a month, they're allowed to do it. In this case, they would wear hoodies, and the dollar would go to the Trayvon Martin family. Brooke Harris, the English and journalism teacher, said that the school's principal signed off on the fundraiser. She said, okay. But the superintendent, a woman named Jacqueline Castle, said no, because of the manner in which they would be wearing the hoods over their heads, like they're designed to be worn, for God's sake. So Brooke Harris, the teacher who was fired, asked the superintendent to meet with the students so the kids could present their case. But just in asking, Brooke Harris, the teacher, was suspended for 2 days. Brooke Harris, the teacher, told the Detroit Free Press, quote, I was told I was a bad teacher, that I'm being unprofessional, that I'm being paid to teach, not to be an activist. When I tried to defend myself, I was told I was being insubordinate. End quote. So during that suspension, Brooke Harris, the English and journalism teacher, returned to school to drop off prizes for a literacy fair. Had nothing to do with Trayvon Martin, literacy fair. And while she was dropping off these prizes, the teacher met the superintendent in the school, and when the superintendent saw her, gave her a 2-week suspension. Brooke Harris said in a report by the Detroit News, quote, I asked her if she could please tell me what I did wrong to come to the first meeting. After I asked that question twice, she never gave me an answer, and then she fired me, end quote. Now, Jacqueline Castle, the superintendent, claims she is a, quote, child of the civil rights movement, end quote, and that she has supported the work of the Southern Poverty Law Center in the past. But she said, quote, this is not the time in the school year for efforts that distracted from academics, end quote. The superintendent claims the protest was not the reason Harris was fired. Harris says she wants her job back, but she's unsure if that is possible. So she gets fired for organizing a protest. Very minimal. Minimal is, what's the protest? The kids get to pay a buck to wear street clothes, in this case, hoodie, to school, and the money would go to the Trayvon Martin family. This is considered activism, apparently, in Pontiac, Michigan, right? This is activism. I think the superintendent, I'm going to guess here, the superintendent, Jacqueline Castle, when she says, quote, she was a child of the civil rights movement, the superintendent. I'm going to guess that she's African-American. And if she's African-American, I'm going to further guess that the reason she suspended the teacher was to avoid any kind of criticism from the larger community. Maybe the Pontiac School Board, although this is a charter school, but, you know, maybe the state school superintendent. In other words, maybe the superintendent was just doing the old CYA or CHA, covering her ass, so that she would not get any criticism for, oh my goodness, activism? God forbid! No way to delay that trouble coming every day. Hey, you know something, people? I'm not black, but there's a whole lot of times I wish I could say I'm not white. But I've seen the fires burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Just turn and bite them, and they say it served them right, because a few of them were white. It's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me, and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV, and all that mass stupidity that seems to grow more every day. Each time you hear something we say, you want to go and do your in, cause the color of your skin just don't.
Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Tom Lorett, who is a frequent contributor, editorial-wise, to this program. Tom sends a lot of stuff that we share with you over the air. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it very much. So where was I? Oh, yeah. Michigan, Brooke Harris, English and journalism teacher, Pontiac Academy for Excellence. Fired. check out the petition if you feel like it at the Southern Poverty Law Center's website, splc.org, I think. Tom in Tacoma, also known as Riley Coyote, not Wiley, but Riley, W-R-Y, oh, never mind, if you have to explain it, Riley Coyote. Anyway, he said maybe this would be good for church night. Okay. There's a headline, Sick Santorum Pulls It Out. Adhering to the ancient biblical practice of onanism, Rick Santorum suddenly pulled out of the GOP race on Tuesday. Oh, come on. If I wanted to be really mean, I could have said he performed a late-term abortion on his presidential campaign, but I didn't, did I? Love and laughs to you and yours, Tom at Tacoma. All righty then. Yeah, that's cool. Sure. Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, former budget director, I think, for George W. Bush, right? Another one of these right-wing half-wits. He has signed into law in Indiana something called Senate Enrolled Act 1. And according to the website addictinginfo.org, this new law allows citizens to use deadly force against police officers that they, the citizens, think are illegally entering their homes. Republicans say the bill is designed to keep police safe. Jesus, God. Now, regardless of what you think of this bill, you now have a defense in the state of Indiana when you decide to kill a cop. If you think, can you say George Zimmerman? If you think the cop is entering your house improperly or illegally. Now, the cop may have a warrant. He may be in hot pursuit. There are all sorts of, I'm not in favor of police coming storming into your house. But, I mean, what happens if a cop shows up? That's supposing next door neighbor calls the police and says, listen, I hear screaming coming from the house next door. And it sounds like a woman is being beaten. And dispatcher says, okay, we'll send somebody over. So they send a couple of cops over. The cops come up. They stand on the front porch, knock on the door. Nobody answers. They hear screaming. They hear shrieking. Help me, help me. They burst through the door. The guy standing in there, just about to kill his wife, turns the gun on the cops and shoots them dead. He now has a defense. Thanks to the Republican governor, Mitch Daniels. Huh? But the governor says, the Republicans say this bill is designed to keep police safe. Democrats in Indiana say the bill will lead to the wanton killing of police officers. Representative Craig Fry, a Democrat, says the bill, quote, is going to cause people to die, and it's too late after somebody dies for a jury to sort it all out. Somebody is going to die, whether it's a police officer or an individual who thinks a police officer is entering their home unlawfully. People are going to die, end quote. Now, this Democrat, Craig Fry, his colleague, Democratic Representative Linda Lawson, a former police captain, says the bill would create, quote, an open season on law enforcement, end quote. And she says the law was opposed by the 1,250 state police officers and 14,000 men and women in blue, brown, and green, reference to their uniform color. Now, this new law reverses a state Supreme Court ruling that homeowners do not have the right to use force against law enforcement officers who they believe are illegally entering their homes. According to the Evansville, Indiana Courier-Press, an Evansville resident fought a police officer who followed him into his house during a domestic dispute call. Quote, the state Supreme Court found that officers sometimes enter homes without warrants for reasons protected by the law, such as pursuing suspects or preventing the destruction of evidence. In these situations, we find it unwise to allow homeowner to adjudge the legality of police conduct in the heat of the moment, end quote. The court added, as we decline to recognize the right to resist unlawful police entry into a home, we decline to recognize the right to batter a police officer as part of that resistance. End quote. More of this when we come back.
Down.
just had another cup of coffee. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Tom Lorett. Thank you, Tom. So, Republican Governor Mitch Daniels of Indiana signs a bill put together by Republicans, probably religious evangelical Republicans, that will allow people who think police are entering their home illegally to kill the cops. And they say that this, the Republicans say the bill is designed to keep the cops safe. God, every time I see that line, I just laugh. This overturns or reverses a state, Indiana State Supreme Court ruling that homeowners do not have the right to use force against law enforcement, who the homeowner might think is illegally entering their house. You know, there's a time and a place, I guess, to sort all that out. On the other hand, there might be a lot of people now. I'm sure that the militia types and maybe you, truth seeker, feel that this is a good thing. I mean, if Trayvon Martin can be gunned down in the street by a wannabe, I don't know if Zimmerman wanted to be a big-ass gangster thug or a big-ass bullying cop. I have no idea. He wanted to be something. That's why he shot an unarmed kid in cold blood. But this is what the right-wing crazy people want. They want gunfights. They want open warfare between black and white, gay and straight, cops and not cops, left and right. This is what the Limbaughs of the world and the rest of these filthy slime, like Glenn Beck, this is what they've been pushing during their entire careers. Chaos in the streets. Breakdown of law and order. And they say they're for law and order. No, they're not. They're for chaos and destruction. And they always have been, always will be. In the meantime, they get rich. Very rich. Preaching their ideology of insanity, stupidity, ridiculousness, bigotry, hatred. Come on, Rush, let's hear you call another innocent woman a slut. Huh? So, while announcing his decision to sign the bill into law, Governor Daniels said the law doesn't declare an open season on police officers. No, not at all. I mean, in the world of newspeak, of course not. He said, quote, "Today is an important day to say Indiana's outstanding law enforcement officers put their lives on the line every day to protect all Hoosiers. The right thing to do is to cooperate with them in every way possible. This law is not an invitation to use violence or force against law enforcement officers." What the hell? It isn't. It is exactly that. But he goes on. "In fact, it restricts when an individual can use force, specifically deadly force, on an officer. So don't try anything. Chances are overwhelming. You will be breaking the law and wind up in far worse trouble as a result," end quote. Well, if that's the case, then why do you have the law, you stupid bastard? I mean, what's the point of signing the law? Daniels is trying to put political spin on a bad bill. As addictinginfo.org says, in fact, Daniels admits that he nearly vetoed it precisely because the bill could be interpreted, misinterpreted, and could lead to killings of police and citizens. "The law is basically a loophole for citizens to kill police officers and claim self-defense. The Zimmerman action." Well, I felt threatened, so I had to kill him. You felt threatened? Yeah. He had a bag of Skittles. Really? Let's face it, there are a lot of people who think police officers have no right to enter their home or property, even if there's a warrant. I mean, how many of these incidences do we need to, I mean, Ruby Ridge, Waco, I mean, you know, it goes on and on and on. And of course, there have been times when cops, in their zeal to bust another marijuana smoker, have busted into somebody's house where they were convinced because intelligence, quote, quote, told them the house was full of marijuana. They come busting in, and in the process, an old lady dies, or a couple of kids are traumatized for the rest of their lives. Oops, wrong house! Okay, so how do you address that? Kill the cop! What? What? Well, that's what the Republican governor of Indiana says, although he's pretending like he's not saying it. He says the right thing to do is to cooperate with cops in every way possible because they're trying to protect all Hoosiers. This law is not an invitation to use violence or force against law enforcement officers. In fact, it is an invitation to use deadly force. But this is what Republicans do. This is how they present their lies and their deceit. They'll stand there and look you right in the face. Well, we're not about forcing our religion down your throat. Yes, you are. Well, we're not about giving tax breaks to the ultra wealthy. Yes, you are. Well, we're not about signing laws that make it easier to kill cops. Yes, you are. Everything a Republican office holder says is a lie, completely, top to bottom. I've always wondered, you know, since everything a Republican office holder says, and most Republican voters, their means of communication is lying, pathological lying. How do they talk to their families? How does Rick Santorum go home and talk to his wife and kids? How does he do that? How does Gingrich talk to Diamond Girl? Beep, boop, 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 beep, beep. How? Everything they say is a lie. Every time they open their mouths, lies fly out. How do you do that? How do you be a Republican and raise children? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. You tell them all these spook stories, right? When you die, if you're good, you go to heaven. But if you're bad, you burn in hell for all eternity, Billy. While snakes, scorpions, and spiders bite and tear at your flesh. Mommy? Daddy? Wow. This bill, as Addicting Info points out, is the equivalent of Florida's Stand Your Ground law that led to the killing of Trayvon Martin. The killer, Zimmerman, believed this innocent kid was a threat. So he followed him and then shot him to death. And because of the so-called Stand Your Ground law, Zimmerman is wandering around someplace trying to collect money off the internet. You know, what an unconscionable son of a bitch. He goes and murders a young kid, and then he puts up a website that says, give me money, give me money. I have to have living expenses. Why don't you contact one of the neo-Nazi or Klan operations, George, and explain your situation? I'm sure they will probably shower you with riches. I mean, after all, you eliminated one more African-American male that counts to those people, George. Unless you're just working a scam here. Not only are you a killer, but you're also working a scam to collect money from people? Really? Boy, aren't you a filthy human being, huh? Aren't you just junk? But Zimmerman claims self-defense, and that's part of the reason he's still in his hidey hole someplace, operating his computer, trying to collect money from the terminally gullible. Well, you got to protect me because, you know, all I did was shoot a colored kid. I mean, you know, what's wrong with that? Hell, that happens all the time. So, Mitch Daniels signs a law that makes the job of law enforcement even more dangerous and ultimately will lead to the legal murder of police officers who are trying to do their job. And again, let me say, I do not defend a police state. I think that in the area of First Amendment rights, the cops are out of control, out on the street. I also maintain that cops do, some of them, develop an attitude that puts them above and beyond any kind of reasonable approach to law enforcement, and they become tyrants. I grant you that. We all know that to be true. When Amadou Diallo is filled full of lead, 41 shots, that's kind of, you know, over-policing, wouldn't you think? On the other hand, the Republican law and order liars, skunks, sponsor and get passed, and now the governor signs a bill that says it's open season on cops. Nice stuff, huh?
Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Tom Lorette. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it very much. Interesting editorial. The Times today, a double dose of harm. House Republicans combined two health care measures that are anti-health care, of course, into a single bill, House Republicans, and they passed it on a largely party-line vote a couple of weeks back. One measure repealed an independent board that is one of the major cost control measures in health care reform law. The board, known as the Independent Payment Advisory Board, is supposed to come up with ways to ramp down Medicare spending if the growth rate of Medicare spending is projected to exceed a specified target. Now, despite what Republicans claim, the board, which will include doctors, consumers, and patient advocates, of course, the Republicans, the right-wing liars, call that a board of unelected bureaucrats. The board is not allowed to ration medical care. That's the new meme. Oh, they're going to ration medical care. These health insurance companies are just, I mean, they are amazing. They are real vampires, bloodsuckers, liars, and they have such willing idiots, useful idiots to go out and do their work for them. Healthcare rationing! Anyway, the Independent Payment Advisory Board is largely restricted to recommending cuts in payments to healthcare providers that would go into effect only if Congress failed to find comparable alternative savings. You see? It's set up so that when these filthy Republicans refuse to do their work, then the board will kick in and do it for them. Very simple. And according to the Congressional Budget Office, repealing this board, which is what the House Republicans are trying to do, would drive up federal spending on Medicare by $3 billion over a decade. Now, these are the same filthy Republicans who are constantly saying, well, we can't afford Medicare. Costs are skyrocketing. So here's a way to bring costs down $3 billion. Oh, no.
because Republicans lie about everything. They are liars by definition. The other ill-conceived so-called healthcare measure imposes restrictions on medical malpractice awards. Of course. That would limit the ability of patients who have been grievously harmed to receive fair compensation for their injuries. Now, the malpractice measure would make it harder to seek compensation for non-economic damages, such as pain and suffering, and would limit awards to $250,000, which, let me ask you, do you think that is too little, too much, or just about right to compensate someone who is, paralyzed from the neck down for life? Or because of a mistake made during surgery, or someone who is blinded because, maybe they were having a meningioma removed or sliced away and, oops, cut your ocular nerve. Sorry! And now that person is blinded for life. So it's $250,000. Let's see. What is it? What's the average family income in this country? $45,000. So that would be enough to live on for 6 years. If you were very, very frugal. Of course, if you are blind, you won't need a car. That cuts a lot of expense right there. You won't be going to movies. Well, actually, I guess at some point you could kind of get used to the blindness and go to listen. You understand what I'm saying here, don't you, truth seeker? So these filthy Republicans. Now, is this the fault of the doctors? No. It's the insurance companies that insure the doctors, the ones that offer malpractice insurance. I don't think there's a doctor out there who, discovering that he or she, a surgeon, he or she had caused someone to be paralyzed for the rest of their lives, would be willing to say, well, too bad, here's your $250,000, now go away. Of course, that's not how it works. The insurance companies, malpractice insurance, that the right-wingers are telling you, well, that's the reason doctors are going out of business. Going out of business? Doctors? I don't think so. So, the Republicans, and I wonder how these Republicans would feel if they wound up paralyzed from the neck down and they were like in their 50s, had a life expectancy of maybe another 30 years. How would they feel? Being told, whoops, well, sorry. Didn't mean to sever your spinal cord there, but, you know, stuff happens. I had a rough night last night. I was at a party, and I came in, and, you know, I didn't mean to cut your spinal cord or the nerves that animate your spinal cord. But I'll tell you what, you get $250,000, what's your complaint? Do you think Republican lawmakers who just in the House who just passed this bill, do you think they would be content with that? Oh, it would also limit patients' ability to file punitive damage suits and limit awards in those suits to $250,000. And as the Times says, the Senate needs to reject or bury this legislation. But do you notice what the Republicans do? They lie. They cheat. They steal. They're frauds. They have no honor. They have no morals. And they damn sure have no ethics. See you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.